Welcome to Two Fools Podcast. This is Drew.
And Dave the Head.
And today we're going to talk about horror in video games. Is there a true horror, or is it just all subjective?
Horror in video games. You mean like when I go to buy the two and get one free, and the one I want that's free costs more? That's the true horror!
That would be shopping horror, maybe, but not game horror. No, it's more, and what brought this up is, recently, if you've gone anywhere near YouTube, you would notice the phenomenon that is Five Nights at Freddy's.
Go near YouTube, wear your protection.
And there's been a debate ever since the first game came out that, oh, this game isn't true horror because it does deal in jump scares, yes. But people are trying to claim that, you know, this is not horror because it doesn't do this or this or that. And again, as many people have said before, all horror is subjective. But at the same time, it's kind of funny how they'll say, oh, this isn't horror, but one other thing is horror.
Well, I've never played the Five Nights at Freddy, but I've seen a handful of the Let's Plays on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And while the most common being the Markiplier, he makes it too silly to really be afraid of it, in my opinion. But I have seen some other ones without him, and where the people just didn't really talk. They just played the game. And the setting, the environment of it, makes me feel uneasy, which is, in my opinion, what makes a jump scare kind of pay off. I mean, anybody can be startled. You don't need a creepy puppet. You don't need zombies breaking through the wall to get freaked out by a jump scare. I was walking through a field with my brother and quails flew up in our face, and that freaked me out.
Well, again, not expecting it. It'll startle you. It's that fight or flight syndrome that all human beings have.
Yeah, but quails aren't scary.
They are if they come right in your face for no reason.
That's what she said?
But nonetheless, and one of the things that kind of brought that, I mean, I had seen some things here and there trying to explain what is and what is not horror in the video game industry, but the one thing that really kind of struck at home is there is a specific other podcast out there. I'm not going to name names.
Yeah, I think we should probably avoid anything like that. Yeah. You heard people discussing and how they put one game as the epitome of true horror.
Yeah.
While bashing this other one, which, you know, again, the subjectivity of what you were bringing up.
Well, yeah, and again, in that discussion, they kept going, well, all horror is subjective, yet it was kind of a definite, this is, this isn't. And I'm like,
Well, I mean, anytime you start dealing with opinions, you gotta decide how strict you're going to judge an opinion. I mean, studying historical background that I did in college, you'd talk about what was a bad war, what was a good war, what was a bad political choice, what was a good political choice. And realistically, you kind of got to go with the largest number of people's agreement as the right answer. Not because it is the right answer, but you just got to pick something as the measurement and move on. Not justifying and not defending the people who said, you know, A is great and B is poop.
Well, I guess I should go into the other game that they're holding on the platform. And spoiler warning. If you have not played Silent Hill 2, I'm about to spoil some of it for you.
You mean from the 90s?
Yeah.
You mean the 20-something-year-old game?
Yeah.
You mean the game that's old enough to smoke and drink and vote?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you need spoiler warning for a 21-year-old game, maybe your hobbies are really slow and you should figure something else out to do with your time.
Hey, gotta do it, or the choir pedantic will get angry at us.
Let them do it! I like angry people. They make me laugh.
But nonetheless, they hold Silent Hill 2 up as, like, the grandmaster of all horror, and it does do some things right. The mood, the atmosphere, the symbolism in the monsters, that's all good stuff. But, and especially one thing they kind of harped on was like, well, you know, it's not realistic. If I survived the first night at Freddy's, I wouldn't be back there. And that's kind of one of the things saying how it's not good horror because you can't
suspend your disbelief. Now, we had this discussion earlier.
I have to say that I agree with that. I mean, if I went to work as a security guard and then the machinery around there was trying to eat me, fuck, like, coming back the second day, I'd have went out the doors on the first night.
Yes, that's fine, but then they argue a leap in logic on the other side.
Well, yeah, yeah, go ahead, continue with your example.
And what they argue is, in the game you are playing as James Sutherland, a man that has just lost his wife, is at the end of his rope, technically, kinda, and he gets a letter from his dead wife saying that she will be in Silent Hill at the place they normally go to.
So, come for a visit?
Well, you know, it's just she's in Silent Hill.
Yeah.
That's where the letter came from. And so he's like, well, I'm going to go to Silent Hill because I got this letter from someone I know is dead. How is that a...
Wouldn't be my first action. My first action would go to the graveyard and make sure she hadn't dug herself up.
Most people would either throw it away thinking that it's some kind of bad joke or... And I'm just saying, that kind of...
Some of the friends we have, that might be a true statement.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's just kind of the argument they put forth is, oh, getting a letter from my dead wife, who I know is dead, and the reason he knows she is dead is because, again, spoilers, he's the one who killed her.
So Silent Hill, horror or secret fantasy? On the next Geraldo.
Dun, 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 dun. But, you know, that's just kind of the argument that I don't understand. You're saying that you can't suspend your disbelief because you go to work five nights at a place with evil machinery, yet it's completely believable that a guy who is the one who killed his wife gets a letter from his wife and goes to this place.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of information here we don't know. We don't know why the security guard's going to Freddy's to do the security job after the second night. Maybe he has a really bad meth problem and needs the money. And what did you say his name was? James?
In
Silent Hill?
Silent Hill is James Sutherland.
Okay, yeah, so maybe him. Mr. Sutherland thinks he's killed his wife when he pushed the car off the cliff and I don't know how she died.
He suffocated her.
Oh. Yeah?
She had... I forget...
No, wait. He suffocated her.
Pillow.
With a pillow.
Yeah.
And then buried her.
Well, reported that she died in her sleep.
Right. And then police and coroners said, hey, yeah, she's dead. Then yeah. Mortician embalmed her, and then they buried her.
Well, you don't see all that, but you that's about the gist you're getting.
That's the logical leaps of faith we can get.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got a letter.
Yeah.
And then he went to Silent Hill.
Yep.
And then the whole game happened.
Yep.
Okay, so he's retarded. And that's not fair to people who really are retarded. So I retract that. He's stupid.
Yeah, but again, that was the argument that makes sense. And they're like, well, and the argument was, well, he's in a bad place, and maybe, and well, what's to say we couldn't argue that the security guard's in a bad place?
I've been in a bad place, too. I mean, lines of DMV, the mall during Christmas season, the middle of the woods and separated from my group. Never did I want to go check on dead people I knew had died.
Yeah.
Nor did I want to work at Showbiz Pizza. So, I'm failing to see how this works for me, Drew.
It doesn't work for me either. And, by the way, you just referenced Showbiz Pizza. Half the world probably doesn't know what that is.
But. Well, if they know what Five Nights Freddy is, they know what Showbiz is.
Most think Chuck E. Cheese.
Whatever, same difference. It's a mouse, it's a bear. They they keep your kids busy with some video games and pizza. Moving on.
Yep.
The most scary thing that ever happened, the most horrific thing in a video game that ever happened to me had to be Resident Evil 2. And it had nothing really to do with the game. It had to do with the environment in which I was playing the game. I was sitting at 2:30 in the night playing this game. Should have went to bed hours ago. I'm running down the hall, the same hall I've run down before dozens of times, when suddenly arms come through the window, grab the character, and the controller shook in my hand. Now, this is the first time that I had ever seen a DualShock controller, to date myself a little bit. So I jumped and I dropped the controller. My then-pregnant wife stirred in the bed, and I knew if she awoke, hell would be unleashed. So I turned the freaking game off, because it was trying to kill me.
And again, there's different levels of horror in all games. I'm not saying that Silent Hill is not a good horror game, because it is. 1 and 2 and 3 were all good horror games. But to kind of argue that one thing is not horror, and then argue this other thing is great horror, and yet I can put forth a logical fallacy that you used against the other game with your game.
Well, that seems like a failure in the people who were discussing it, not necessarily the creation of the games.
Oh, no, no, no. It's not about the game. And this, again, the podcast is not about the game's problems. It's the perceived ways people go about judging things.
Well, we discussed this a little bit before, and I think that horror works under two mechanics, really. One, it creates a sense of unease. You know, I remember watching movies where people are possessed by demons, and it was kind of creepy. Not necessarily horror for me, because I don't believe in possession and spirits, so it's fantasy to me, but it was still creepy because the people were doing things that are not normal for human behavior. Heads turning into directions that they shouldn't, or getting sick for no reason. Just that whole, everything's logical to a degree, but once it passes a certain level, you're broke. And you've gotten into that realm of, this ain't right, now I'm afraid. And then you had the second one where immediate action, not prepared for, aka the jump scare in this case, that's going to unsettle. So unnerve and unsettle, which kind of might sound like the same, but in my head they mean different. You know, the cat jumps out from underneath the table and startles me. I'm not horrified, but you know, Freddy Krueger does things that are inhuman, but he makes me laugh. So, I think there's a mixture of both of them that need to happen to make a quote-unquote horror game. And then again, it's the horror to me.
And that's true. But again, another part of this was, you know, it's kind of that, just that, and I also got a twinge of, because it's popular, they didn't like it.
Oh.
You know, kind of that it's popular, so I don't like it bias.
Oh, well, ain't nothing you can do about that.
Oh, I know, but I just kind of wanted to come in, talk about it. It's like, why is it that this game's better than this when the only difference is this one's popular right now?
True horror is $7.95 for a cup of coffee.
Where are you going for coffee?
I don't know. I was making a Starbucks joke, though. I've never been.
Ah.
Which I think is a big problem with a lot of these kinds of reviews and stuff. We all make jokes about stuff we've never really done. You know, how many of you think that E.T. for the Atari 2600 was the worst game ever? No. Now, how many of you played it?
I didn't play it.
Well, I did. It was okay. It was, levels of it were, versions of it were hard. They had a, the Atari had a game select, and I think E.T. came with three versions. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's out to get you. Number two, only one guy's out to get you. And number three, none of the bad guys were out to get you. And you just played the game. And I always played it on easy because I was a kid and I wanted to have fun, not challenge. But, you know, you talk about people jumping on the bandwagon. I don't like Five Nights at Freddy because it's popular. Well, it must be horrible to some people. It must be horrifying. You know, your favorite whipping boy are clowns.
Well, yeah, because there's a number of people we know that are like, I can't stand clowns, I'm afraid of clowns, and I'm kind of like, it's a clown.
Well, see, I'm not really afraid of clowns, though I know most people are afraid of clowns because of Tim Curry as Pennywise from Stephen King's It. I think Tim Curry in garter belts and fishnet stockings is more terrifying, a la Rocky Horror.
I'm just a sweet transvestite.
He said it, not me.
Oh, come on.
I don't like that film.
I'm not a good fan.
Hey, wait. Let me put on my flame-proof britches. I don't like that film. I think it's stupid.
I'm not the biggest fan of it either, but I do find some parts of it funny.
Sure. So. Meatloaf.
Whew.
I like meatloaf.
Yeah?
With ketchup.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yes. Well, anything else not retaining to that podcast do we want to cover for horror?
Well, again, and as it tried to say, horror is subjective. So, you know, like we were saying, I don't find clowns horrifying.
Right.
Some people do.
I didn't find it horrifying. A lot of people did. So
the book creeped me out. The movie made me laugh.
So it's just finding what is, you know, what is your horror switch?
So what is yours?
Probably would have to be spiders.
Dude, now that you say that, that's probably my second most horrifying game moment. In one of the Lord of the Ring trilogy games, you had to fight Shelob.
Mm.
I was sitting in this room, in the dark, when that giant freaking thing came out of nowhere. I tried to beat it maybe twice and got killed, and I hit the pause button. I was like, I was done. Someone else needs to come play this. I'm, you know, my creeped out factor was too high.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, that mine would have to be spiders or something like that, you know. I can watch most horror movies. They don't really affect me. I am a real big fan of H.P. Lovecraft. And while it's like, it's not, you know, I'm frightened for forever, those do a really good job. But Lovecraft had the philosophy of, oh, well, one, the less you knew about it, the scarier it was. Which is true from time to time.
The only thing I ever learned about H.P. Lovecraft was Cthulhu likes you with bacon bits.
Actually, Cthulhu doesn't like you at all. The point of H.P. Lovecraft's universe view is the universe is cold, uncaring. You got eaten just because you were there, not because Cthulhu actually cared.
What? Doesn't he like the bacon bits?
Maybe.
I mean, he sprinkled them on that.
Are we going to go live on a live outside and talk to Cthulhu?
No, I'm good. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get everybody's fascination with it. My little sister used to sit on Saturday mornings after all the cartoons were over. Horror films would come on in the afternoon, and she would watch them. Every one of them. Didn't matter how stupid or old it was. Not that there's anything wrong with old movies or B-movies. Everyone has a different flavor. But she liked them all. And I had no idea why. It did not. 1 + 1 = fish, and I didn't quite get it.
I liked the slasher films. You know, your Friday the 13th, your Nightmares on Elm Street, your Slumber Party Massacres.
Wait, did you say Slumber Party?
Yes, it exists.
It was a massacre, though?
Yeah, it's a dude with a drill killing people.
Why would you ever want to do that to a beautiful slumber party?
He's a psychopath?
Ugh. You built my hopes up. And then they crash back down.
Well, what can I say? It's a slasher film. Bad stuff's going to happen.
I remember the Jason 10, I think it was, where he was in space.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, God, that was hilarious. I don't know, man. I just, like I said, things creep me out, but things don't terrify me.
Mm-hmm.
Real world hurts more than movies and games.
Tell you the truth, the last thing I remember that completely terrified me. I don't know if you remember this book series, but Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Nope.
Okay, my elementary school library had them, and middle school library had them, and they just were creepy. Well, because when you're a little kid and your imagination runs wild, and they were old creepy stories, and just the artist that they got, the way he drew things made it just, made your skin crawl when you looked at it.
Well, do you think there's a difference between suspense and terror?
Yes, there is a difference.
And what fuels terror?
A number of things. It depends. Terror can be fueled by not knowing what's going on in a situation. It can be fueled by instinct, like for me or you, we don't like spiders so much. That might not be terror, but that's bordering on the same process.
Okay, so fear of the unknown,
mm-hmm.
and then suspense is the other side of horror. You have terror, yep. and suspense.
Yep.
So suspense, like you're down to your last three bullets, and you know that there's more trouble ahead in a game.
Yep.
So by this definition, Fallout 3 could be one of the most terrifying games in the world.
It could be.
Because when that door opened for that first time, you didn't know what was out there. You start walking down the street, you didn't know. You saw something move. Was it trying to eat you? Was it going to kill you? Why the hell was it playing a stupid radio song? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, it could be that, or it could be something as you don't know what's going to happen, but you're walking down a hall in a video game, and all of a sudden you hear that string section start to wind up.
Curse you, John Williams!
I don't know if he's involved, but
we're blaming him anyways.
You hear the violins start to wind up, and it starts getting that sound going, and you get tense because the suspense is building because you know something's about to happen.
Well, did you ever see The Ring?
the English or the Japanese version?
The American version.
Yes.
The Ring.
Yes.
Did you see the Japanese version, The Ringu?
No.
Okay, well, I did see both of them. And while The Ring, I don't know, they had a lot. The Ring showed you. Where The Ringu kind of left a lot of stuff up, in my opinion, to imagination. You didn't see, usually, the monster. You often saw the aftermath. Now, in the American version, she's crawling out the TV and stalking people down, right?
Well, at the very end.
Only she was doing it in...
Yeah, but you never saw her come out the TV towards the end of the movie.
Well, you saw the wet carpet. You saw... obviously, I've got 20/20 looking back. I knew what was going on. But, like, that first person that got killed, and the girl, I think it was the girl stuffed in her closet, and they opened the door, but no one saw her.
Mm-hmm.
She just opened the door, you saw the actresses, I think it was an actress, react. Oh, I'm shocked. And you were like, ooh, terrible things happened. But you didn't see it.
In the American version, no, you did see her body. It was like, oh!
I was just saying, in the Japanese version, I remember they showed some scenes where the dead bodies were just contorted of fear, and I didn't remember that payoff in the American version.
There was, the first body was there. You didn't really see much afterwards in the American version, but the first body to set up the, okay, this is real, they did show you.
Well, can you compare that idea to a video game setting? I mean, are we going to go back to the Silent Hill and the Five Nights at Freddy's? Is that example? One did more showing, and one did more letting you think about how creepy it was.
Well, it's not necessarily that it wasn't really not showing in Silent Hill. There was plenty of showing. It's just, I guess you could say it was more subtle in how it got it across. Because the horror was you're being stalked by monsters.
Okay.
Very weird alien monsters. Again, something you're not used to, so therefore you're fearful of it. But most of these monsters correlated back into problems with James Sutherland. Either his guilt for killing his wife, his sexual frustrations, just all these negative emotions that were given, like, form.
Well, that's number two. How does two differ from one?
One...
Did you ever play it?
One, I've got to remember. It's been so long. But one was... And one is more believable than two for the reason you're there. Two, like I said, you just get random letter from a person you know is dead. One, it's you're playing a father who's driving and your daughter's in the car. A person runs through the road and causes you to spin out and crash.
And then the daughter comes up missing and you gotta go find her.
I would believe that more. I would think in a healthy parent-child relationship, you would do whatever it took to find your child. So, one was much better at why you were still in town. That and there were other people in town.
What about the third one?
In the second one, there were some people here and there, but it was iffy.
Right. What about the third one? Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that one that much.
So I never played any of those. Now, I played a handful of Resident Evil, which, in my opinion, was like the go-to for horror games. Can you even think of any other horror games besides those two?
Recently, the golden boy for a while was Amnesia: The Dark Descent, which was an indie horror game.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about there.
It was basically you wake up in this old castle, you have no clue where you are, and you're slowly learning the backstory.
One of those Let's Play series that you watched, I think Don't Starve?
Don't Starve.
Where you're like, it's kind of got that weird, creepy Tim Burton-esque looking artistic feel to it, and you're like trying to survive and everything wants to eat you. I found that way more terrifying than most Resident Evil games that I've ever played.
Another good element of horror is how well are you equipped
to deal with the problem.
If you are able... See, this is why Resident Evil doesn't work in its later versions, because it started going more towards Hollywood, guns blazing, theatrical kind of deal.
Well, now, me personally, I prefer that. I liked Resident Evil when I had enough bullets to deal with the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem might have been difficult, and enough bullets might have not been the right answer,
mm-hmm.
but I still prefer that being an option.
Well...
again, and this is one
argument... Well, one of the Resident Evil games, you can't shoot the bad guy. You gotta run from him. I think it was Nemesis. If he's coming after you, you've already screwed up. You've got to get away.
I didn't play many Resident... I played number one, and that was about it.
I'm pretty sure Nemesis, you couldn't fight him. You had to get away, and it was like the big driving force of the game pushing you forward until you figured out how to actually deal with it.
Yeah, well, I played one, and I watched a friend play through the second one for the most part. I might have missed some here and there.
I played a good few of them, and then I've even played some of the bad versions, like the Resident Evil that looks like a first-person shooter, but, oh.
Mm.
And some of the handheld things were pretty bad.
And I guess that's kind of one of my praises for Five Nights at Freddy's is you can't fight back.
Right.
You have doors and electricity or whatever the gimmick is for the 2 and 3, you know. And you just have to do that to survive. There are no guns. You can't stab anything. You can't...
You can't even go to the bathroom or leave the store early, apparently.
Yep. And so that's part of what I did like, is you are helpless other than your wits.
Well, that Aliens game, people said, you know...
Isolation?
No. Like, the game based on the movie. I don't know if it's called Isolation. Is that what you're shaking your head for?
Yeah, it's Aliens Isolation.
I've only seen commercials and a few of the playthrough things and people reviewing it and how, you know, you're running through the spaceship as... Are you as Ridley?
Ripley.
Or Ripley.
Ripley's daughter.
So, okay. So you're running through the spaceship trying to avoid that, you know, acid bleeding, rip you to shreds in 3.2 seconds alien creature.
Mm-hmm.
And... you have really little to no offensive capability. Yeah. I think that one would creep me out. I don't think I'd want to play that one.
And that one's a good one. And a lot of people like that one. I haven't played it myself, but it looks interesting. Though it's not just the alien. There's also, what are the robotic things called in the Aliens universe?
The androids?
Yeah, what are they called? They're synthoids or something that. But there's a number of those kind of things as well that have come
gone
haywire, and you gotta. But those you can defeat,
and that's why you can't trust your toaster, kids. Shoot that son of a bitch!
Would you like a piece of toast? How about a bagel? Anyone gets that reference? Good for you.
Is that a Foamy the Squirrel reference?
No.
Okay. Well, just for the record, if you like goofiness, look up "Toaster of Amityville Horror" with Foamy the Squirrel. Hilarity.
But again, and it's just kind of what you want in a horror game, but I would argue that really, really tense horror is the horror where I don't have weapons. I can't just shoot something to get rid of it.
Well, I might be playing the devil's advocate here or get in trouble for what I'm about to say, but I don't want to be the victim. I don't want to play the victim. Life's hard enough. I play games for escapism. I mean, I know some people get enjoyment out of horror. I don't quite understand the draw of walking into someone's house and getting scared and paying them to do that.
I will, it's the adrenaline rush. It's the chemicals your body releases after you are brought to that fight or flight and then calm down.
Oh, if you say so.
So I did go to school for psychology,
right.
So.
I get more enjoyment out of ice cream. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, that's about the same basis. You're getting dopamine one way or another.
Mm-mm. Sweet, sweet vanilla-flavored dopamine.
But that's what it is. Some people... It's kind of also like if you're a roller coaster junkie. It's the same process.
Yeah, I get you. That's going to be my kid when she gets old enough to start taking herself to those places. I know when the fair comes around, she loves anything that goes upside down, and I don't get it.
Well, again, it's that adrenaline rush and then that come down from the adrenaline. And if it happens a lot, you need more to get the same feeling. Like any kind of chemical.
So, what is the end result of all this, Drewford? What is it that you... The horror, I mean, what is it that you want from a horror game? What is it that Drew wants?
What I want from a horror game? I want something that has good atmosphere. You know, I want something to where the mechanics are... on the side of creeping me out, maybe getting me tense, and, you know, like, oh God, what's going to happen next? I get a scare or something, and we'll go to something else. I want that atmosphere to kind of stay with me.
See, I think I like the survivalist aspect of it, That's what searching the box for that one green herb or the last six bullets, you know. Do I really want to open this door? Am I really prepared to answer what's on the other side? And it might just be a gross scene that freaks me out, which I have no problem with those. But I like, you know, there's a point where a challenge starts becoming an abuse. And, you know, your skill level at playing a game is going to dictate a lot of that and how much abuse you want to take. Giggity. Anyway. Yeah, I just freaked myself out with that joke. Anyway.
Safety word is banana.
Oh, God. I want to go home now. Oh, crap, I'm already there.
But, also, I guess another thing we should bring up is another thing that people like me probably like in some of these horror games is the story. What the story's like.
Well, I think the podcast that shall not be named made a very good point about the initial story for Five Nights at Freddy. I watched the videos. I don't know what the hell was going on. I didn't know why that guy was doing it. Other than making Markiplier scream like crazy and being entertaining, I didn't see the point of the game. Well, now, when you showed me, I think, Game Theory,
yes,
that explained, hey, here's some ideas behind the story, and I got to see what the gaming community had created for the background story, or maybe not created, but figured out, whatever the right term is, it became a lot more impressive after that. But, dude, I'm lazy. I don't want to have to work for that story. I figure if you pay for the game, you should already know what the story is.
Well, that would it would be the argument of, do I just want it served to me on a silver platter, my brain doesn't have to work, and I just move from point to point to point?
There's got to be a spot between silver platter and, you know, 6 months research. There's got to be a happy medium somewhere in there.
There does, but, you know, that would be another one of the arguments. Like, oh, well, every night something gets slipped under your door. Now I'd be asking, who the hell is slipping this under my door? So that would just add more questions. But, it's you have to find a good median between working for it and getting some stuff. But at the same time, with the way Five Nights at Freddy's was, you couldn't really get a ton of work for it. You just had to be observant because you couldn't move anywhere.
Right, right.
And you were just using the video feed.
Well, I mean, the game is like a bona fide hit, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, both the first, the second one, and now the third one's even cranking it out. So, obviously, the programmer, go ahead and say his name.
Scott Cawthon.
Has got to be doing something right.
Well,
whether you like it or not, whether you agree that it's horror or not, the majority seems to be saying it is, and they want more.
Well, they do. They do. And again, some people are like, I don't get it. It's just a bunch of jump scares. And I was like, to tell you the truth, and on that same podcast that we're not going to name, they're like, well, it seems like there's a cult following for this, and it's kind of weird. And I was like, well, it fulfills a need for some of us. As I've told a number of our friends, and I think I've said this to you as well, it allows you to put on your little tinfoil helmet and go to town making theories without seeming the crazy people that say we didn't land on the moon.
That makes me sad. Just tangent. People who say we haven't went to the moon, that makes me sad. I mean, one of the greatest things that humans could have possibly done, exploring the universe around them, and you think it's a lie. Okay, back to horror.
And that's just the need that Freddy's kind of fills for some people. It allows them to put their little tinfoil helmet on and just go to town. Like,
well, I think if that's your statement, I believe it's being served to you in a silver platter then, because that game goes straight into it. I mean, if the Let's Plays are any indication, it only takes, what, 10, 15 minutes to get freaked the heck out?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Not my cup of tea, so I have no dog in the fight, as the sentence goes.
Again, and I'm not trying to fanboy over here, but I just felt that it was kind of a bad argument. And I was like, well, what is good horror then? Can we find a median there?
Well, you see, you keep saying good horror, and to me, Stephen King is creepy. Many of his books were creepy. A couple of those suspenseful thriller movies are creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I will not watch Silence of the Lambs. I have seen enough clips and heard enough people. I will never watch it. And I think the reason it creeps me out the most is because the character of Hannibal Lecter could be real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what creeps me out the most.
Yeah.
Freddy Krueger made me laugh. I watched the Halloween remake and then saw the Halloween original.
That Rob Zombie did?
Yeah.
Remake.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there were times in that I got skittish, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I'm sitting in a movie theater beside Charles watching the scary man slash people. You know, I couldn't quite get that immense immersion. That's the word I meant to use, immersion.
Well, with slasher films, they're not going to get the scare you to death kind of thing.
Right.
Unless it's a very realistic, this guy just showed, like, The Hitcher.
The Others. I was telling you about this, The Others, with, I think, Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm.
That movie creeped me out, and I think it was because of the way it had a twist.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about it, Sixth Sense, when that first came out, everyone was creeped out about that.
I am obligated to do this. What a twist!
Yeah. Obligations. It's in his contract, kids. That's why you should always read the fine print.
But, again, I haven't seen The Others, so I can't say
right.
One way or another. But...
And I don't even think that movie was supposed to be a horror. I don't know if it was or wasn't. To me, I didn't think it was a horror film, but it was a suspenseful film, and mm-hmm. that got me jumping a handful of times.
Yeah. I could believe that. Apparently, The Conjuring is supposed to be good, but I haven't seen it. It's a recent film, like last year, I believe.
Is that the one where they gave like the warning and like, hey, don't worry, we got priests out here in the lobby if you need to talk to somebody because possessions and stuff?
I don't know about that one, but
For our generation, the Blair Witch Project. To a lot of people, that was either horrifying or exercise of motion sickness.
To me, it was like, this is stupid, but nonetheless.
I found it very creepy. But to me, what made it creepy, and, what was it? Mm. I'm trying to think. Fourth Kind, I think, was the name of the movie. Marty and I went and saw it, and it was about the alien abductions in Alaska, was the whole premise of it. Mm-hmm. And the way they presented the movie was, every once in a while, they'd show this side-by-side scene, and they'd show what was going on in this movie, but they would show this person who was talking to a talk show about what was going on at that moment. And they presented the film to be a true life, a dramatization of a true life event.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked out of that theater creeped out, and I told Marty, well, thank God the sun's still up, because I don't, you know, I'd have had a rough time. But I came home, Wikipedia that, and found out that it was all bogus. Anti-spoiler. Anyway, it was all bogus, just like the Blair Witch Project. Once I found out they were fake, to me, it cut the terror in half. Which, I was very, I guess, looking back, I was very glad I didn't know going in.
You want to know the movie that creeped me out? Well, when I was younger.
I know. Drew's third grade English recital.
We didn't have English recitals.
Okay, go ahead.
But, it was actually Tom Savini's remake of Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
I saw it when I was about 11 years old, and that creeped me the fuck out. I don't know why, but I guess...
Was it like your first exposure to zombies?
Probably, now that I think about it.
Hey, this one's for RJ. Remember back in the day when zombies weren't vogue? And they were actually terrifying things and not everywhere.
But I guess it was maybe... Because Tom Savini is... I don't know if you know
nope.
Tom. Tom Savini is a guy that was known as one of the makeup masters of horror.
Okay.
You know, he was this visual effects, did it with makeup, screw CG.
Sure.
You know, he worked on the original... the original Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead... He did a lot of stuff for Friday the 13th, the original, and
okay.
I think the second one, and then he went away for a while and came back. And I believe he was also the makeup guy on the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I could be wrong on that, though.
But so he parlayed his abilities from being a makeup artist for all these great movies and then redid his own, or redid this other one as the director.
Yes. And it was, I don't know if it was just his, because he was also the makeup guy as well. I don't know if his makeup was just so good it creeped me out. Or
well, you were 11.
Yeah, I was 11. But
it creeped me out. And I guess probably what it was, during that time, I lived out in the middle of effing nowhere. And that took place out in the middle of effing nowhere.
The first Scream. We watched the first Scream in the middle of the night, my wife at the time and I, and I'll be damned if my sister didn't knock on the window in the middle of the night and scare the hell out of us. You know how this has went from horror from video games into horror just in general?
Well, you're going to go there sooner or later.
That's right. I still think we should rename the show from Two Fools to Two Tangents.
could be. We do go off on tangents, but... Anyway, I don't necessarily think that this was like, you know, horror and just video games. That was like a jumping off point. But...
jumping off. That's probably terrifying. Parachuting?
Wouldn't be a thing for me.
Hang gliding?
Nah.
Bungee jumping?
I like my feet on the ground. Though I'm not afraid of commercial flying, though a lot of people are.
Flying was easy. The landing was a bit creepy.
Well, anyways, I guess we should do our final thoughts here, what we think on...
Can I go first? Mine'll be quick.
Okay.
I don't do horror.
That is?
Life's terrifying enough sometimes. You want horror? You really want horror, kids? Get a job. Pay a mortgage. Change a diaper. That's horrifying.
Okay.
Especially the first one when it's green and it sticks to the kid. What the hell would... I mean, it's green! And it's like poop Velcro! And it doesn't make any sense!
Okay, well, in my case, I would say... You know, again, horror subjective. I don't want to sound like I'm raining on the parade.
Or the broken record.
Or the broken record. But that it is truth. But at the same time, I don't think you should beat down on one game just because you necessarily don't like the mechanic.
That sounds like the true essence of what point you want to make.
Yeah. It is. If you don't like the game, that's fine. But don't try to discredit it just because you don't like it. I mean, you can say, hey, I don't like it. And, you know, I'd be fine with that. If you said, I don't like it, I'd be like, cool, you don't like it. But when...
And you don't even need any justification better than that.
Correct. But when you try to come out and say, well, I don't like it, this shouldn't exist, or this doesn't need to exist, which is kind of what I felt
right. Was
coming in that argument, was how they were trying to say that, oh, this is crap, and... The developer shouldn't be making these because they're bad. And I'm like, this guy's one guy, you know, crew trying to make a living. I'm not going to fault him for trying.
Well, with our final thoughts, we want to hear what you have to say. We have us a Facebook page, Two Fools Network Facebook page. Why don't you join it and give us some ideas of what you think a horror game is? Why don't you give us some ideas about what you thought about the podcast? And, I'm Dave the Head.
And we're also on Twitter at TwoFoolsTWN. So give us a shout there if you want to talk some more as well.
Yeah, you'll have to yell at Drew at that one because I don't do the twits.
Oh, I'll give you the password. But nonetheless, no, I'm Drew.
And I'm still Dave the Head.
And this has been Two Fools Podcast. Please check us out on YouTube, Two Fools Network. Have a good night. Okay, this is a little bit of a postscript. When doing the whole podcast that should not be named, I should go ahead and say, I like these guys. I like listening to them. They're very logical people. I just felt that this one instance, they kind of fell into the haterade because it was popular and they just kind of wanted to hate on it. That, and they were also kind of picking on people like Markiplier or whatnot, who, you know, do the yelling and the shouting for the lulz kind of deal. Again, not my style to call those people out. They work hard to do what they do. And
who knows, maybe one day we'll get people yelling at the stupid shit we say.
Probably.
So my postscript is, Two Fools Network. We are defending games no one else likes, apparently, like E.T. for the 2600 and Five Nights at Freddy's.
Well, enough people do like Five Nights at Freddy's, just not certain people.
I want to be a triumphant of justice.
Well, see you later.